Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, this is the Reverend Spiro. And this is Eating Disorder. I'm here with Paul Gerard and Adam Velez.
I'm glad you didn't clue me into this earlier. Thanks, Spiro.
And today's show is about food, love, sex, and magic.
Love is in the air.
That's right.
Something like that. I've been eating half-price candy all day, so it might be something different.
Well, we wanted to do this show about food and love and sex. I mean, it's supposed to Valentine's Day, but I mean, one of the things we always like to tell people is we love food. We love it. We have a love affair with it. Some of our guests today are Trudy McGuire, who was the author of How Not to Date and is also the co-host of Arts and Seizure here at Heritage Radio.
Welcome, Judy.
Thanks for having me, boy.
Our friend's Kathy Latham, who works at Enchantments.
Hi there.
Okay, and her friend, David Skoroski.
Skoroposky. Yeah, it's a hard one. Thank you.
Yeah, I know.
Here to tell us how to score.
Well, he's an astrologer who also writes for NewYorkMag.com, posting online on Mondays.
Yes.
Okay.
On the cut.
And we want to talk about the relationship between food and love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And magic. And all things magic.
Judy also is my better half, and she knows that I make grunty, you know, sexy noises when I see food.
Wow, yeah.
Seafood does it for you.
No. When I just see food.
Oyster. Oh, when you see food.
Any food. Like, right. We'll watch food shows together, and I'm like...
Yeah.
And he also does this thing when we're out to dinner. When we first started going out, I'm like, why is he checking out that waitress? Because he'll just watch the waitress
holding.
Ring. And he's like, what waitress? Look at that steak.
How was everybody's Valentine's? Did you guys go out for Valentine's Day?
Well,
no.
Sadly, we were both kind of ill, but Judy was more ill than I was. I spent it with Judy's friend, Sylvia, who's 96-year-old, had a 96-year-old Valentine friend.
Wow.
And we love her, and she was awesome, and that was the best Valentine's Day I've ever had.
That's true love. I mean, that's really... Nice. Nursing somebody through a stomach flu or something is much more about true love than some champagne.
Can I get
and
some
chocolate-covered strawberries?
With that shake?
Right.
Only hold your hair when you're facing the toilet.
I'm too cynical for Valentine's Day, but maybe one day I'll have a Valentine. Kathy?
You don't believe in it because of the big corporate thing? And
No, it's cool. I like a heart-shaped box.
Yeah. Who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of people coming into Enchantments to get, potions and elixirs and
we
candles?
We usually do, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Right.
Yeah.
And how?
More so during Valentine's Day?
Sometimes we have a lot of people asking for love candles, for Valentine's candles for their loved ones, and also, like, love incense, sex incense, kind of accoutrements to set the scene, bags
right.
and things.
Gifts and stuff,
yeah.
too.
A lot of gifts.
But
yeah.
also, I think after Valentine's, we've had a lot of people coming in for
creams
catching
and
a love. No, cat. Oh.
Do you have anything for this? And oh, God. I got a candlestick, but it ain't going to fit.
Thanks.
Oh. You're all waiting. Make sure to get the waitress.
We do have phallic shaped. Well, enchantments do. You know, yeah. We've got everything, but we've got candles in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, I have a few of them. I bought several of them.
So
what,
it's not.
What do you feel like is the most effective?
Effective what?
For finding love.
Oh my gosh! Well, that's what we're here to talk about, I guess. I mean, and I guess since we're food oriented, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, Kathy.
Things you can put in your mouth.
Right.
Kind of stuff.
Right.
To get things put in your mouth.
Can I buy you a drink, right. or you just want the money?
Well, obviously, you know, the idea of love filters, love potions, these are all things that are ingested. Right. You know, runes are often eaten. On cookies or wine or
runes.
Yeah, like
explain like runes being.
Kathy's
like,
going to explain
the
Nordic runes.
They're a Northern European alphabet and also a magical system.
So they would stamp it into a cookie or something, and then
or chip it into wine.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Chip it into wine.
Chip it into
from what wood and ingest it. But the whole idea of ingesting this, you know, certainly aphrodisiacs throughout the Middle Ages, things that look either yonic or phallic, like carrots, asparagus, oysters.
Figs and pomegranates.
Figs and pomegranates.
I was surprised on your list that asparagus is actually for women. I would think that...
Well, it's phallic looking. I mean, unless you're into golden showers, I wouldn't recommend
it. Oh, and then it's going to smell ridiculous.
Kathy's embarrassed. Sorry.
But it's good to know that it's actually about ingesting things, because I saw that clove was on your list and I rubbed it on. I got all numb.
No, don't rub it. No,
it didn't work at all.
Clove on your body.
No, it's
Is it safe?
You need, you know, these things, some things are ingestible, some things aren't, like mandrake. I'm sure everyone's heard of mandrake.
Right.
That's traditionally used in love magic, but it's, you know, highly poisonous.
Right.
So it's not something that's ingested. But things like Spanish fly.
Do you believe that works, Spanish
fly?
Yeah,
I mean, we've been hearing about this since we were in junior high school. It's like Spanish fly. I mean, what is Spanish fly? I mean, I still have no clue.
I don't even know either. What is it?
It's a Spanish fly. Is that what it is?
No, it's like, it's some sort of like very dangerous aphrodisiac.
Really?
Yeah, that was used in a lot of, during Louis XVI, a lot of his mistresses were poisoning one another, and in fact, also administering love potions. So it was either the poisoner was also the love potion giver.
Round about the cauldron go.
Yeah.
In the poison entrails throw. Toad that under cold stone, days and night.
Do you feel like there's some manipulation in using a love spell, or do you feel like it's... the intention behind it is good.
I'm going to let Kathy take that one.
It depends on your purpose. If you're just trying to do something to attract somebody in general, that's fine. It's like it's kind of like wearing makeup or you know, fancying yourself up. But if you're doing it towards a specific person, we definitely don't advise that. That's that's definitely in the realm of...
unless you're together and like you want to spice things up or work through...
Yeah, if it's consensual,
right?
Yeah, then absolutely, then it's
fun.
But
non-manipulative.
I have a question from the standpoint of not eating it, but still about food. You made a candle for me and Judy that we asked for, and we wanted something specific, and you put honey in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And I grew up right on the border of Sunset Park, so I was around a lot of botanicas, a lot of santeros, and I'm really curious in regards to the food as a offering.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, can you tell us a little bit about like how that works within, you know, the benefit of you're not eating it, you're giving it, you know. Greeks do that too. Like we do a thing with like a pomegranate, you got to smash it against your doorstep, which we can't do at our new place because they'll hate us. But, you
know, pomegranate, Joey.
But it's a thing where you leave food, and how does that work?
It's a spirit of things. It's a sacrifice, which means it literally means to make sacred. So you're offering something.
A libation as well.
Mm-hmm. And honey you offer, it's been considered sacred in many cultures. Mm-hmm. There's so much energy in it. Bees are pretty magical.
Yeah. Okay. And, it doesn't spoil. The only food that doesn't spoil.
Yeah, I heard that.
Really?
But yeah.
It never spoils.
Honey's sacred to many. Yeah. Freya, so many. Oshun. Yeah. Lots of love, deities.
So we offer it in the bottom of the candle. It's kind of like food for the candle, almost. Yeah. Okay. It's like adding sweetness to it.
Okay.
And you taste it first to show... to show respect, to show that you're doing it with good intentions.
Right, right, which you made me do.
And also you mentioned you grew up near Botanicas. The Orisha Ochun, honey is sacred to her.
I'm game, honey.
And there's a legend that she was either poisoned or drugged with honey.
Oh.
So that's why if you offer it to her, you always have to taste it first.
Oh.
Like you wouldn't offer something that you wouldn't consume yourself. And
which
that's also...
you made me taste it.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And it connects you to the camp.
I remember a lot of the guys that would practice this back in Sunset Park also did like rum.
Right.
Was another thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but I mean, come on. That'll yeah. That turns a no never into fine.
Well, they're feeding the spirits. Each of those spirits has their own tastes and their own appetites,
and
quite
some
literally.
Of them are like vegans,
right, and, like the spirits of love and lust. And
no, like some food offerings, you would give pumpkins to some and not to another. You know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So actually, they have their own menus.
They have their own little fancy certain things.
Exactly.
And that's pretty consistent. Oh. In a lot of spiritual traditions.
Right. They're as picky as Brooklyn vegans.
Are given libations or offerings of food or drink.
Right, right.
Because it's, you can also extend it to, like, it's something you would give a friend or a family member. You would, you know, a way of sharing your love is to offer food or drink.
Right.
Absolutely. Which, yeah, I mean, just to get Judy involved in this, I mean, it's one of the things that we've been doing since the dawn of what we consider love, I guess, is sharing the meal. I mean, the cave woman made the meal for the caveman. The caveman brought the buffalo, said, look at this giant buffalo I've brought you. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but from the modern standpoint, what are some things to kind of do, like things to avoid from a meal standpoint, Judy, on a first date, for example?
Well, I would hope that the person would avoid fennel because I hate the smell of that and the taste
of
that. I'm not one of those people who says, like, oh, you shouldn't eat spaghetti because you're messy, because sometimes there's something cute about someone being messy.
Or someone likes to splosh,
or unless the two are eating it together.
You know what? If a guy tasted like garlic, that'd be okay with me.
Well,
that's
not going to disagree with the spaghetti or the ribs or whatever, is that if I get it on me, then I'm self-conscious.
Well,
you're a sloppy eater,
yes,
too.
I am.
I use it as a test. Like, I'll order, like, I'm going to get buffalo wings. It's just
right.
Saucy.
Well, Judy, you know how, like, a lot of people say, like, oysters are aphrodisiacs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if someone's completely, I love oysters, but what if someone's completely repulsed by them? You know what I mean?
Well, then it's good to find out that they're squeamish.
Right,
you know,
before you serve them.
That tells you a lot about them.
Ah.
You know, like, oysters are an acquired taste, but if somebody's really picky,
Judy
and is like,
her first oyster with me,
really,
I am picky too.
So it worked.
But, yeah. See,
but
there you go.
If somebody is really demanding of their waiter and like wants everything on the side,
mm-hmm.
and is, you know,
needy,
needs attention, that tells you a lot about a person. And you know, women who don't want to eat in front of men, like,
right?
Just,
what,
like,
does that mean?
It means
I don't like that.
You don't like that.
Okay, but also,
I see that so often, and I'm like, I call it out when I see it.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's we're surrounded by this culture of, like, don't eat, you know. Like,
no,
you
but
know.
There's nothing sexier than seeing somebody chow down.
But also, nobody likes a fat chick.
Well, they love her, they hate her. But here's the thing. This show's called Eating Disorder, so let's not talk about it.
If you
just go in the bathroom and do it. Put the finger in your throat.
Let's get back to magic.
I think that if somebody's comfortable and they're eating around you, like, that's very sexy.
Yeah, comfortable. Yeah.
But that's one of the things I always think about aphrodisiacs. I mean, like, do you really think that aphrodisiacs are real? Or is it the act of eating? Because to me,
both.
Seeing somebody eat with their fingers or slurping an oyster or eating a strawberry, I mean, those are very sensual things to do. And that's what grabs me. Yeah, but I'm never going to break this guy off a piece, no matter what the fuck he eats, ever.
Well, you can tell by the way you describe it. You know, like, these things are, eating is a sensual act, right?
It definitely
and
is.
People say the way to someone's heart is through their stomach.
He's actually got a giant tattoo on his stomach.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It's right here.
No, don't show us.
Children.
The way to my heart is through my stomach.
Sacred heart with the fucking knife right above the navel.
So, yeah, I totally do. And, you know, Kathy and I were talking today, and we were thinking about putting a menu to, you know, a Valentine's Day menu.
Oh, right, you
together.
Did, like, the perfect magical night or something, right?
Yeah, we thought
about
that.
I'd like to hear about that, absolutely.
Yeah, what does that consist of?
What did that consist of?
Well, I would do it on a Friday, because that's the night sacred to Venus. And, you know, if the moon is waxing, that's even better. It means it's growing bigger.
Waxing is good.
Yeah.
Good. Waxing is always
good. Yeah, and wax before your date.
Moon
just
groom.
Kidding. Yeah. And then, Kathy, you want to take it from there? What else?
You can set the scene with candles and maybe incense or some oil.
Right.
Those, you can use oils that have aphrodisiac properties, like jasmine or patchouli.
Yeah, enchanting, things like that.
Yeah.
What would you do if Spiro came home doused in patchouli? Would you go, oh, yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot of crappy patchouli out there, but I went to CBI I Hate Perfume last week, and they have a patchouli that's like pure blend of several different patchoulis.
Enchantments has the best one.
Oh, well, I'm sure if I went to Enchantments and shop for patchouli, but you know, it always turned me off, the smell, and then I smelled the good stuff. I'm sure you guys
there
have
is a part in my pants, and you are the guest of honor.
But maybe we'd save that for after the meal, the to set the mood,
because
you don't want the fragrances to mess with the meal.
It was never necessarily the smell, it was also a lot of the things that...
The chicks.
No, it was what it was attached to. It was for me, it was like Burning Man.
Forget that.
White kids with dreadlocks, and you know, like, which is fine, but at one point during the 90s,
it was more of like masking, not bathing.
Yes, that was the thing. Yeah. You know?
Well, here's the thing, like, a lot of male attraction fragrances for men to attract women are civet, ambergris, musk, all these things that kind of, you know, smell pissy, but they are...
Why, is it supposed to simulate a pheromone or something?
Yeah. And actually, a formula, attraction formula that Crowley wore was ambergris, musk, civet.
Aleister Crowley.
Yes.
Okay. I like to completely douse my body in X spray.
No, that won't
doesn't
do
seem
it
to be working.
No, give that up.
I've actually been using something I love, and I think Judy loves it too, but it's this thing that makes my beard smell like pine.
Pine Sol?
She's got a Santa fetish.
No.
That'll keep you uncrossed.
She loves the smell of pine. And it actually conditions the beard, too, because the beard does need to get softened.
What happens in the summertime? Don't you fuck with her reality? Like, she's, like, smelling you. She's like, oh, there's going to be something in the stocking. It's, like, nothing there.
But girls would wear what, Kathy? Rose?
Vanilla.
Citrus, right?
Vanilla. Yeah, that's, like, the number one for men.
Verbena.
Vanilla. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm.
I hate vanilla. That's funny you say that because
me too.
My girlfriend's in the studio with us right now, and she's pointing at me, and she's...
I hate vanilla.
I hate vanilla.
I love it.
I don't like it. It's too sweet. It's too sweet.
Yeah.
For me. I like a woman. If I wanted to have sex with a cupcake, you know.
Right.
There's plenty of bakeries by my apartment.
Right.
But I want to smell something.
Next on eating disorder: sex with cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
Okay.
Pregnancy tested, mother approved.
So what would we be cooking at this magical dinner? We got the scene set. Yeah. What are we listening to? Johnny Mathis? I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Right?
No, I would listen to... What's that guy with the deep voice?
Barry White.
Barry White.
Or Isaac Hayes.
Or Isaac Hayes on a Friday night.
Man. There you go.
I would start out with a cordial, and I would have my beloved victim sitting in the west, and I'd be in the east in the place of power. And
a little feng shui.
That's right.
We're gonna pick this up right after the break, though. But thank you so much. This is Eating Disorder. We will be back. Look for us at Forky Radio.
You are listening to I Like You by Roberta's Own Hard Bodies here on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
This special program was brought to you by TechServe, New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, serving creative professionals at all levels, from individual customers to Fortune 100 companies. TechServe has built a solid reputation in their expertise in technology, sales, and service. Visit them on the web at techserve.com or in New York City at 119 West 23rd Street. Learn more about their in-store classes and incredible insider program. Make stuff happen. TechServe.
You know,
this reminds me of faking sick and watching Bewitched.
Exactly.
This is eating
which
disorder,
I still do.
Folks.
Don't tell my boss.
I was saying that this show was the first time in history that witches were looked at in a good light.
Yeah,
in American history.
Well, we're in New
American
York City.
History. In modern American history, first of all, Elizabeth Montgomery was a fox. Okay.
Yeah, but, she was.
But besides that, she was also a positive female role model. Yeah, and Dora was the shit.
Yeah, she was.
All right, she was queen bitch.
Right.
All right?
Yeah,
she had that shit down.
Yes.
When it came down to it, you know, Bewitched.
I didn't know you were such a fan.
Oh, dude. Yeah. No, we had an argument.
You got a tattoo of her too?
Eventually.
Far back.
No, it was. You know what the thing was? It was that or like I Dream of Jeannie. She was a slave.
Same time. Right.
She was a slave.
She was a spirit trapped in the bottle.
Exactly.
A gin.
But you know, Elizabeth Montgomery. And Elizabeth Montgomery had a gay husband.
She did?
Yeah. The first guy who played Darren was actually gay. He actually came out.
No, but I'm saying on the show he wasn't.
No. But I'm just saying he was an act.
Right.
It was a very progressive group
of things that
happened in that show.
At Bewitched.
But this is still Eating Disorder, and we are still back.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back.
I'm here with Paul Gerard. I'm here with Adam Velez. Our friend Judy McGuire, author of How Not to Date. Our friend Kathy Latham from Magic Shop Enchantments. Okay, and our friend David Skorpaski, astrologer for NewYorkMag.com. You know, I want to talk about the witches thing for a second. We talked about it before the show started, but I am comfortable with saying the word witch because, like, I love metal.
Right.
Okay. Witches. Now, is that an okay thing to say to somebody who practices certain things and have certain beliefs? Is it okay to say you're a witch?
Definitely. It's kind of like a practical term at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so, but we said that warlock is not a good thing.
Warlock has a different connotation.
How so?
It means like liar. So
really?
For a guy, you just call him a witch too.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. It's a unisex term.
A warlock is not a good thing to call somebody.
Oh, but it sounds so cool.
I know.
It does sound pretty cool, especially.
It's a band.
BC Rich makes a guitar called a warlock. It's awesome. We were talking about menus before we went
I
to the break.
I would be devastated if you did not join me for at least one glass of fine champagne.
I can see the candle shimmering.
Who does these
champagne?
Are those spirits?
Oh, no.
We have spirits.
I hear spirits in my
ears. Spirits of Christopher Walken.
You're crazy.
He's awesome.
You had said in one of the emails that you sent that every plant has a vibration all its own.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What are we gonna do for the menu? What are we going to bring in here and the vibrations within that?
I'd like to say something first. A lot of the planets, the seven heavenly bodies are associated with herbs and plants and things like that. So that's where we get these ideas from. So these would be Venusian foods and herbs and plants.
When
so
you
sacred
sent that
to Venus.
In the email, the Venusian foods.
Yes.
Like, how did that come about? Where did that start?
Things that look yonic or phallic.
It's just all associated with love. It has nothing to do with
sex.
With
mostly
alien
Venus
beings.
Is sex.
Don't
no.
Get me
no, nothing about. but for instance, like, okay, so if we were to put an amateur and menu together, Kathy, take it away.
You could do a salad maybe with arugula, which is it's an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
As well.
Very sexy unless it's
priapus.
Stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, they used to plant it.
Yeah, right.
The Romans used to plant it around this god of fertility statue
named Priapus. It was the statue. Priapus is just a phallus.
Wait, isn't that the same thing that happens when you take too much Viagra and hard for hours?
Right.
It's a priapus.
So you could mix arugula with figs.
Yeah, right. Or some basil, which is also... Mm-hmm.
I saw the list that you have, the cardamom, cayenne, cinnamon, and all that stuff. I tried it. Unfortunately, I'm single now, so chef. I was home, and it was like a scene out of Don John.
But
it worked.
All those spices, like, they increase blood flow and circulation,
right.
too.
Right.
I could imagine myself going into, like, a deli or, like, a herbal supplement store, and, like, that scene in Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he, like, gets ammunition and, like, grenades and rocket launchers for, like, the war, but I'm getting, like, ginseng. And
right, ginseng.
And arugula.
And you're putting it into, like, a bandolier belt.
Yeah,
bandolier
belt. I'm wrapping my head with herbs as opposed to the red torn handkerchief that Rambo wore.
I take ginseng every so often, and I take it just because I think people have told me it's good for you. And it tastes like earth. It does. I've tried every time.
I like that about it.
It's a stimulant.
I have ginseng
candy.
I actually like that.
I actually can't
it
take
tastes
it.
Like dirt. It does.
Yeah, it makes my heart beat palpitate. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but it makes me sweat.
Yeah, see,
everything makes you sweat. Yeah, Judy, you want to get in on this?
It's true. I am swarthy. I am.
I love that word.
Yeah.
Swarthy. Adjective. It's a good one.
But, you know,
good one for Mad Libs.
I think it's clear that, you know, like, love, based on, you know, mutual interest and affection and all that stuff is the best. But do you ever have people that come in that are just like, you know, fuck that. You know, yeah. I want it and I want it now.
Yeah, unfortunately we do. And we tell them not to do it. It's such a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it works on you first. If you do a spell for somebody else, you become more obsessed with them because magic works through the operator first.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Do you get obsessed with really awful people sometimes?
If someone came in from a love spell and they did a love spell on someone that they were thinking about,
you're going to think about them more.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not a good idea.
And
that's awesome. You're like that two artists that said, no, don't get that stupid shit on your face. Don't
exactly.
Do that.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you know, be careful what you wish for. That's what we always tell people.
And it's like, I ask people, like, would you want someone to do that to you?
To you, yeah. Right.
No, so don't do it. Like, you know.
Right. Wow.
And then, you know, a lot of this food stuff was sneaky magic.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff you would sneak, like a lot of Italian men, Mediterranean men with red wine and stuff, are, you know,
roofies.
I was just about to say that.
No.
It's roofie. It's aphrodisiac. It makes you go to sleep.
But a little bit. No, a woman, if she puts her blood in it, she'll be hers forever. Yeah.
So wait. They have to get her blood first, though, and then you put it in it, and then what?
No, she puts it in.
Oh, and then it gives it to the man.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's some evil shit right there.
Right.
That's some serpent and a rainbow shit right there.
Yeah. No, we don't condone this.
What you want, Guan?
See?
No. Come on.
Say that again, Judy.
I know someone who did that, and it worked. She put a spell on this guy with her menstrual blood.
Oh!
They do it. Yes.
Why?
Yes. See,
for the time being, because now he knows.
We don't condone that.
Why did it have to come up?
But that's got to be like what was that movie, The Serpent and the Rainbow or something, where like you bring back the people from the dead, the zombies. It always doesn't work. You're like Pet Sematary. Like,
I love that movie.
What is their relationship like now? Are they madly in love, or is he like a fucking zombie?
Probably obsessed with her.
I don't want to say who they are. He's quite old, and I really don't know how they are.
Money thing.
I don't like them.
You can't create love with magic. You can't. You can only create lust or obsession.
Magic is created by love. I'd say. Magic is created by love.
That's exactly how we feel about food.
Aphrodisiacs work if there's already love there, then you can enhance
it.
Well, you had said in one of the emails about that it's like one of the, you know, and I always say to people it's one of the most important ingredients, but it really is. It really is one of the
absolutely.
Most important ingredients.
You can
so
tell.
When you treat things with respect, you know, like you said, you should treat the food the way you would treat one of your lovers.
Exactly.
Right.
I like saying that word.
That's why the food at your place
is
good.
But real quick, Lover. Though, we have a little bit more time left, and I was curious, as the astrologer here, I'm a Libra, what advice do you have for me?
He said you're ruled by penis.
I'm ruled by penis?
No.
Oh, yipes.
Is that what you said?
No, actually, Libra is the most Venusian of signs. It's ruled by Venus, so that's the topic of conversation today, the planet of sex. Libras love beauty.
I'm a Cancer, hard
cancer, what
on
it
the
it?
Outside.
And harmony.
Harmony,
like, have to be
non-fighting,
aesthetics.
Art. So when the moon is in Libra, it's a nice time to have a date, actually.
Nice time to make power moves, right?
Yeah.
Power moves.
Especially a full moon in Libra. Do the, your love magic.
That's when we're down the
clown. Oh, yeah. All right, folks. This has been Eating Disorder. I want to thank our guests. I want to thank our hosts, Paul Gerard, Adam Velez, Judy McGuire, Kathy Latham, David Skorofsky. You can follow us at Fork You Radio on Twitter. This has been about love and sex and food. Eat, love, have sex.
Witchcraft.
At the same time.
That was very eloquent.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.